Okay. All right. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and call the county board meeting to order and ask the clerk to call the roll, please.
Veldren. Veldren here, Wegleitner. Wegleitner here, Wagon. Wagon here, Welsh. Welsh here, Yang. Yang. Andre. Andre here, Blazewicz. Blazewicz here, Betcher. Betcher here, Bollig.
Bollig here.
Bollig here, Brower. Brower here, Chabla. Chabla absent, Doolin. Doolin here, Downing.
Downing here.
Downing here, Doyle. Doyle absent, Eicher. Eicher absent, Engelberger. Engelberger here, Erickson. Erickson here, Freeze. Freeze here, Glazer. Glazer here, Gray. Gray here, Huselman.
Huselman here.
Huselman here, Jackson.
Jackson here.
Jackson here, Kemp. Kemp here, Kageya. Kageya here, Croning. Croning here, Marin. Marin here, McCarville.
McCarville here.
McCarville here, Peters. Peters absent, Peterson. Peterson absent, Postler.
Postler here.
Postler here, Ritt. Ritt here, Rose. Rose here, Rylander. Rylander here, Smith.
Smith here.
Smith here, Udell.
Udell here.
Udell here, Miles.
Miles here.
We have a quorum.
All right, quorum being present, we shall move on to the inspirational message tonight being delivered by Supervisor Veldren.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's been a heavy time for us in the past few months, passing the 2025 county budget, the election, and now welcoming Dane County Executive Melissa Agard, who I did not know would be here tonight, so pleasantly surprised for all of us. But it's a time for us just to relax, take some time to kick back a little bit in the next 6 weeks. And then we can dig into those budget priorities that we put in the 25 budget. So with that, I just want to celebrate a little bit on what I believe is one of the true American holidays, the American holiday, Thanksgiving. As we gather to celebrate Thanksgiving, we can think about the origins of this holiday, the spirit and the unity and the gratitude that it represents. The Pilgrims and the Wampanoag tribe shared a harvest feast, making the beginning of a tradition that has endured for centuries. Pilgrims were immigrants, a new land meeting people that they had nothing in common with except that they were people. They were hardly conquerors, closer to a minority group of people who were going to a new place just to live their lives with newfound freedom and at the mercy of native people they encountered. The leader of the Wampanoag tribe expressed his gratitude for peace and friendship between the two groups, stating, "We shall ever remain friends with you." President Abraham Lincoln, in his proclamation anointing the National Day of Thanksgiving, captured the essence and spirit of the holiday. And the recipients of choicest bounties of heaven, we have been preserved in peace and prosperity, and we have favored greatly increased means of happiness. So as we partake in our own Thanksgiving feast today, let us honor the legacy of those who came before us, embrace the values and unity of gratitude and peace. Let us remember the importance of sharing our blessings with others and fostering relationships built on respect and understanding. Thanksgiving is a time for our family and our friends to share a meal. The first meal consisted of deer, corn, shellfish, roasted meat, and accompanied by a ball game, singing, and dancing. Now the usual traditional Thanksgiving feast features roasted turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, and possibly a football game or a walk. But we've also incorporated non-traditional dishes in our Thanksgiving meals and enhanced them in great ways, such as ham, prime rib, vegetarian specialties are all over now. Many also enhance their dinners with different flavors, spices, creating unique and delicious dishes. I have my own great memories of Thanksgiving. Since I had the privilege of growing up in the New York City area, occasionally my family and I attended the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Then 10 years ago, I actually marched in the great event as a participant. That was quite an experience. There are large gatherings as well as small. Our family now has experienced large and small gatherings as well. And we have hosted foreign students at our church, have volunteered at community Thanksgiving meals. And so this holiday is truly about, no matter how you celebrate or who you celebrate with, make it your own and memorable. May this Thanksgiving be a time of reflection, joy, and togetherness. We give thanks for the abundance of our lives and a hope for a brighter future. With that, you may please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Supervisor Veldren. All right, before moving on to our special matters, I just wanted to let everybody know I invited our new county executive, Executive Agar, to come tonight so we can congratulate her on being elected to our new county executive and welcome her. And so first, let's do that. Let's say thank you. Congratulations and welcome, and I would invite you to come up and share a few words if you'd like. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Miles, and to the County Board for the kind invitation to speak and for the warm welcome. I thank the County Board Supervisors for your collaboration and the County Board Office for your help in helping kick things off for me and my staff as we build forward together, making sure that we're lifting up and providing the best services to the people of Dane County. For the past year, I've been on what I call the longest job interview ever. And I'm so appreciative of the fact that I've earned the support of the voters all across Dane County and this important role as the Dane County Executive. As I look around the room, I see so many people that I know so very well and have known for many years, and many of you I've gotten to know better. And I know that our community is in great hands with all of you, and I'm grateful for that. There is a common thread between all of us. We are here to serve the people of Dane County. We are here to serve the people in Dane County with compassion and excellence. They are our bosses at the end of the day. Public service isn't always glamorous. There's late meetings, weekends spent working with your constituents and the best interest of our community. And many people are relaxing with their families during that time. It comes with sacrifice, but it is so very fulfilling. And I hope that you all feel the impact that you are making for the people of Dane County in your work as County Board Supervisors. I think back to my journey in public service, initially very hesitant to hear the calls of my neighbors to run for office and to serve on this very Board of Supervisors. I was worried because I had so much on my plate already. But giving to your community and running for office is really not only a gift to the people who you serve, but it's an opportunity to learn so much more about the fabulous people that call our county home. What I didn't realize when I was making that decision was how much I would actually get back from public service. I grew to love this community even more than I already did when I first went on that journey. By stepping up and answering the call, really learning who the people are, seeing the successes that we're able to provide for our community, identifying challenges, and knowing that when we collaborate, we can address them together. And I remember my seat was right over there by Supervisor Boettcher, it was a wonderful opportunity to serve in this board for 4 years. I was honored to chair the Health and Human Needs Committee And I always was cognizant of the weight of the decisions that I made at the county board. Grassroots local leadership is really where the rubber meets the road. Local government is real life. The decisions that we make here in Dane County affect people immediately. It's about getting people housing when they need it. It's about assisting elderly residents who need meals and making sure that our vulnerable children are safe. It's about ensuring that our lakes are clean and that we mitigate the flooding of our friends and our neighbors and our neighborhoods. It's about supporting our rural communities who have very different needs than the folks who live in the urban centers of Dane County. And what you do matters, and how you do it is so meaningful and valuable. And I was looking at your agenda tonight, and at first I thought, oh, y'all might be here late. It's pretty robust. So I promise these remarks are going to be brief. But secondly, it provided me an opportunity to reflect on how our visions are so connected. We are aligned, and we are working for the same goals and for the same people, whether it's housing or our county parks, addressing the fentanyl crisis, food access. Those are things that I've been talking about and hearing from people all across Dane County. I've hit the ground running on my first week in the office, meeting with department heads, managers, employee groups, advocates, and I know that we can and will work well together, and I'm looking forward, very forward, to being able to do that. I hope that what you can take away from me being here tonight and the message I'm delivering is that collaboration will allow us to do our jobs better. I want both of us, our branches of government, to see each other as allies and not have a negative tension. We are partners in delivering a common goal to people across Dane County. And in the coming days, my office will be sending out an email with a request to meet with each one of you individually. And the fact that there's 37 of you, we're gonna have to probably put a doodle poll or something like that out to make it manageable. But I look very much forward to our conversations with one another. I wanna hear from you because you know your communities at the level that they deserve. You are earnest and hardworking, and you are coming here to do the work for those people. And there are opportunities also for us to collaborate. If there's something that you would like to invite me to do with you in your district, I look forward to that invitation. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what matters to you. I want to hear what matters to your community. And I want to make sure that you all realize that I take very seriously the fact that we're in this together. And I'm thrilled to be working for the betterment of the people of Dane County with you and with the amazing people that staff county government as well. Thank you so much for giving me a moment of time today, Chair Miles, and I hope that you have a great meeting. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you again. Thank you, Super or Executive Agard. All right, moving on to special matters and announcements, we have before us 2024 Resolution 218, recognizing American Education Week 2024.
Thank you, Chair Miles. Whereas American Education Week was first established by the National Education Association in 1921, it has since been celebrated annually and nationwide in the third full week of November to honor the importance of education and those who contribute to the educational process, and is being commemorated this year from November 18th through November 22nd, 2024. And whereas American Education Week is an opportunity to highlight the vital role of education in shaping the future, recognizing the contributions of educators, school staff, and the entire education community, and emphasize the value of a quality education and the need for collaboration among teachers, parents, students, and the community to ensure student success. And whereas education is one of the largest employment sectors in Dane County, with 21 K-4-12 school districts or governing entities of various types, representing 164 public schools and 55 private schools. And whereas our schools employ many unsung heroes, chief among them the special education assistants, who play a vital role in our schools and do tremendous work to support the most vulnerable of our students while receiving the lowest salaries. Whereas this annual observance provides a dedicated time for schools, families, individuals, and communities to come together and support education and honor the dedication and hard work of educators and education support professionals. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors recognizes the week of November 18th through 22, 2024 as American Education Week. Be it further resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors recognize and honors the daily dedication and commitment shown by Dane County educators, staff, and schools to all children, families, our communities, and our world through their work. Be it finally resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors encourages its members and the public to use American Education Week as an opportunity to show appreciation for educators and promote the value of education in various ways, including the following. Thank an educator. Express your gratitude to teachers, school staff, and all of the education professionals who have made a positive impact on your life, your child's life, or the life of a child who is important to you. Visit schools. Arrange visits to local schools to learn about the educational programs and initiatives in your community. Participate in parent-teacher conferences. Attend parent-teacher conferences to discuss your child's progress and education goals. Support education initiatives. Get involved in local education, such as school improvement projects or literacy programs. Advocate for education. Advocate for policies and funding that support quality education in your community and beyond. Engage in education discussions. Join discussions on education topics and attend educational seminars or workshops. So moved by Ritt.
Okay, moved by Ritt. Seconded by Rose.
If I may share a few words.
After we call for a vote, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That the motion carries. Supervisor Ritt.
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Rose, for putting most of this together. As most of you know, I am a teacher. I'm in my 32nd year teaching, which is amazing. And I have 6 months, 21 days left, and I'm hanging up the chalk. In all seriousness, if you choose to thank an educator with words, that's wonderful. An email, fabulous. Saying thank you is great. If you choose to thank an educator with a gift, some of you may send it to, you know, your kids, teachers, whatever. Please do not send a coffee cup or a paperclip holder or pretty post-it notes. What teachers want is gift certificates to Trixie's or Steve's. We also love chocolate. Local coffee shops, but seriously, no coffee cups. All right, as an educator, so over the past 32 years, I have taught in a psychiatric hospital. I taught in South America as a Peace Corps volunteer, and then I've spent the past several decades with Madison Schools. I came into the district as a Spanish teacher. Every other year of my entire career has been in special education, which is very near and dear to my heart. Being a teacher, you think, oh, summer's off, weekend's off? Yeah, that doesn't really happen if you're a teacher. As a teacher, I have been physically assaulted. I've been sexually assaulted. I've had furniture thrown at me. I get sworn at regularly. I've been spit on. I've been bit. I've also been hugged, I would say, what, 25 times a day? Yeah. You know, kids I don't even know tell me they love me or they love my hat or my shirt or anything. I have had the honor of helping children learn how to walk, learn how to talk, learn how to read. I mean, the gifts are endless, despite the fact that it is a not easy job at all. So please know that there's a whole lot more on the other side of the desk than you may realize. Love us up, please. We do a hard job. I would like to welcome up two very dear friends of mine. They are current colleagues of mine. They're going to share a few words, but I want to embarrass them both a little bit first. So Sarah is a special education assistant at school. She gets a ridiculously embarrassing salary, does the hardest work in the entire building. She came into my school how many years ago? Seven or eight years ago, we can't even remember. She came in as a substitute special education assistant. So she doesn't know the school. She doesn't know the kids. She parks her car and walks in the door anyway. She was placed on Team Unicorn, my team, and at the end of the first day, I went to my administrators and I said, you must hire this woman. I don't care what you have to do. She is like a unicorn of unicorns. She is the perfect balance of setting expectations for students and loving them through everything. I have seen her in really, really difficult situations. She doesn't run away. She doesn't ask for a break. She doesn't ask for anybody to take over. She is a phenomenal human being, and I am so proud and grateful to know her. She's going to speak in a moment. Eneal Pickett here just joined my school a couple of years ago. This is your third year with us, right? Yeah. He is very daring and takes on the fifth graders. We work at a super challenging school. We have probably some of the most challenging kids in all of MMSD, but I think we have the best kids in the entire, I would say in the entire county easily. Eneal exemplifies what it means to take a really kooky, over-energized, super hormoned up group of kids and teach them to love themselves and that they are loved. He does a phenomenal job of bringing history and culture and just making sure that every child like really embraces their inner life. Both of these people change lives. I could not be more proud to be with them. Would you like to share a few words?
Thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Thank you, Ms. Redd, for those kind words. I really do appreciate them. My students would like to thank all of you, and thank you, Ms. Redd, for your kind words, and thank you for seeing the hard work that we do every day. So thank you.
Yes, thank you for the kind words. Can you all hear me? Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for allowing us to be here. I actually left the school district for like 6 months for a different job in a completely different field, and the building had air conditioning, and it was wonderful. But I missed my Leopold family, and I missed all those kids, and I called Michelle, and I was like, I want to come home, and I'm back, and I love it. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you all. Seriously, your homework for this week, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, somehow thank a teacher or a school support. And you teach just as much as I do. So please thank a teacher. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're on to announcements. Any announcements from folks? Supervisor Welch.
While they're taking pictures. I just wanted to welcome the board and any community members to experience the Henry Vilas Zoo. Zoo Lights kicks off in just a few days. It runs from November 29th through December 29th. Tickets include unlimited carousel rides, which is quite the bargain. And Santa will be there and available for pictures until December 23rd. If you haven't experienced Zoo Lights, it's quite the spectacle to check out, so I welcome you all to come out to District 7 and see you there.
Supervisor Rose.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. This week, there's two special things happening that we should honor and think about. Red Shawl Day was held Tuesday. It honors the lives of those missing and murdered Indigenous women who die for those reasons and no reasons at the same time. At 10% higher than the normal population. So the shawl symbolizes courage and the movement to go on and heal from those experiences. Yesterday was the Center of Transgender Day of Remembrance. It's a time to remember and honor all those who also lose their lives just because they are who they are. Today is also the Great Smokeout, which started in 1976. There's still time left today. If you haven't had the opportunity to engage someone and talk to them about what life looks like after using something that may not be healthy for you, I do want to honor and thank UW Extension's Taylor Seal and Department of Health's Miranda Phelps McGuire for working with the youth in our community who created posters and other messaging over the last 2 years that are now implemented at schools across the county. So thank you, Chair.
Any other announcements? Okay, I'll give a quick one. Just a reminder, after this meeting, at Argus, we'll have our post-budget celebration. So please come. Lower level of the Argus. All right. Next, we have approval of payments. We have bills over $10,000 referred to the county board before us. Is there a motion? Moved by Engelberger, seconded by Kemp. Discussion, questions on the bills? Okay, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That motion carries. The bills are approved for payment. All right, on to approval of county board minutes. We have before us the November 7th county board meeting minutes. Is there a motion? Moved by Brower, seconded by Erickson. Discussion, questions, corrections to the meeting minutes? Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That motion carries and the minutes are approved. And I just need to make sure I'm looking at registrations as well before we get going too far. Let's see. We're on to consent calendar. There are 18 items before us. Are there any requests for separation, Supervisor Gray?
15 and 16, Mr. Chair.
All right. Supervisor Wigand.
I'd just like to be recorded as voting no on F4 and F5. Thank you.
No on F4 and 5. Okay. All right. Any other requests for separation? All right. Then on the balance of items F1 through 14, 17 and 18, 17 and 18. What's before us are committee actions. So all in favor, say aye.
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 And Supervisor Huelsman would like to be recorded as voting no on F1. No. Opposed, say no. That motion carries. Those items are adopted. So we'll move on to item F15. Let me scroll there 1 second. F15 is 2024 Resolution 200, contract change order number 36 for the jail consolidation project, contract with Myron Construction. Supervisor Gray. And I'm sorry, I should say what is before us is Public Works and Transportation recommendation of approval. So, Supervisor Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not going to beat it to death, but occasionally I am going to point out, as I said I would, the change orders to the jail that you all voted for. When they told you how much it was going to cost, and we told you that that was not true, that it was going to be at least 30 to 40% higher than they promised you, I want you to know that these change orders, 15 and 16, are just the start. It's only $250,000. This is gonna happen 30 or 40 more times before your jail is built. I hope it was the right vote. Thank you for your time. Oh, and I'd like to be recorded as voting no, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Supervisor Rylander.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask, Director Draper, unless there's someone else more appropriate on the call, what allows, I guess, are these like extenuating circumstances that would, I mean, I guess, you know, they agreed to build the jail for, you know, are these unanticipated? Have there been developments since the contract was agreed to?
Hi, thanks for the question, Supervisor Rylander. With any construction project, change orders are kind of a pretty much a normal process. They're part of construction projects, and especially when you have a construction project of this size, you will experience some changes to the contract. They can be driven by unforeseens, they can be driven by owner requests, or they can be driven by errors and omissions. What we have in front of us here tonight is a fairly typical situation where we need a little bit of extra detailing for some submitted equipment. And I would say that the amount here is, Supervisor Gray is correct. You're going to see more of these. But I would like to say that, you know, we are well within the budget, the project budget right now. And these will happen.
Thank you.
Supervisor Wegleitner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to be recorded as voting no.
Supervisor Kaget.
I would also like to be recorded as voting no.
Supervisor Veldman.
I think you were looking the other way. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Supervisor Director Draper, and we Controller Hicklin said this, and as Supervisor Gray mentioned, this is the first. These are the first of many. But if we're at 30%, we have some real problems. As was mentioned earlier. You have a 10%, right? A budget that or 10% allowance
contingency.
Yeah, Supervisor Veldren, there's a 10% contingency that's estimated that was included in the estimate that's budgeted for. Correct.
So if we're hitting 30%, there's somebody did some real bad estimating.
Yeah, we're not even close to 30% right now.
Thanks, sir. It's just these are going to happen, like we said, and this is part of putting old buildings and new buildings together. So this is, it said he put the money in for this contingency, so this is just part of the process. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, seeing no further discussion on item 15 on resolution 200. I'm sorry, Supervisor Heelsman. You know, wish to make a comment.
Yes, I would just like to be recorded no on both 15 and 16. Thank you.
Okay. All right. No further discussion. And like I said, what's before us is Public Works and Transportation recommendation of approval of resolution 200. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say no. The motion carries. And the resolution is adopted. We're on to item 16, 2024, resolution 202, contract change order number 37 for the jail consolidation project contract with Myron Construction. What's before us is Public Works and Transportation Committee recommendation for approval. Supervisor Kigaya.
I would just like to be recorded as voting no. Okay.
Can I just assume it's the same as the last one?
Okay. Supervisor Gray as well?
All right,
we're good. Thank you. Any other discussion on item 16? All right, all in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. With that, the motion carries. Resolution 202 is adopted. And that takes care of consent calendar. So we're on to reports on zoning petitions. I just want to make sure there are no registrants here. All right, we have five items before us recommended by the Zoning and Land Regulation Committee. Are there any requests for separation? Hearing no requests for separation. On the committee action, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries, and those five petitions are approved and adopted. On to resolutions. We have three items here, so I'll just go through them one at a time. First being 2024 Resolution 143, 2024 Recommendation to Health and Human Needs Committee. For opioid settlement funds in behavioral health. I'm just checking registrations, make sure we don't have anything here. No registrants on this item. So what is before us is Health and Human Needs recommendation of approval as amended. Supervisor Wegleitner.
Thank you, Chair Miles. I just wanna rise in support of resolution 143 and quickly clarify that the action before us is the Health and Human Needs Committee recommendation, which the amendment HHN made was the amendment passed by the Board of Health. So that is reflected in notes, so everybody is clear that that is the motion, which is amending line 64 to add, and at least one Board of Health member appointed by the Board of Health chair. So that is an addition to that RFP evaluation team, and that was recommended out of HHN. This resolution, I certainly want to recognize Supervisor Rick Rose for really his, you know, passionate and dedicated advocacy to the this issue and engaging the public and prioritizing people with lived and living experience and creating some transparency to what happens with our opioid settlement dollars. So in the 2024 county budget, $800,000 was sort of set aside for a more public process, and we created an opioid settlement subcommittee that would make recommendations on how to utilize those funds. The recommendation was to create a harm reduction drop-in center for folks to get access to syringe services, supports, community, safety, care. And that is a big part of this this resolution is creating that authorizing funding for an RFP to get an operator for that drop-in center. The other part is to scale up our existing staffing within our public health department to do syringe services. Our public health does this right now, but its hours are limited because of our limited staff. So when Supervisor Rose and I met with the county execs office, when we met with public health, when we met with the Department of Human Services to talk about how do we implement this, what's your feedback, that feedback we got included, well, we're doing this right now, but we're doing it really limited. So, you know, it would be really helpful to scale that up so those services can be operated, expanded, particularly while we go through the process, the department goes through the process of putting out an RFP and selecting an operator to run a drop-in center. And then when that drop-in center opens, I think it's likely that those public health services then would all be located at this new drop-in center location. So I really want to thank the hard work of the subcommittee in putting forward this recommendations. They collected a lot of input and presented that to HHN, and I hope you all will support this moving forward.
Okay. Other comments on discussion on F1? Hearing none, all in favor of the committee recommendation for approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That motion carries. Resolution 143 is adopted. On to F2 2024, Resolution 184, authorizing extension of time for limited term employee in the sheriff's office. What is before us is Public Protection and Judiciary Committee recommendation of approval as amended. So, discussion on Resolution 184. Okay, hearing none, all in favor of approval say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. With that, motion carries and the resolution is adopted. On to item 3, 2024, Resolution 205, award of contract for environmental site investigation of the Darwin training area at the Dane County Regional Airport. What is before us is Public Works and Transportation Committee recommendation of approval as amended. Part of that amendment is a change, correction to the title instead of investigation is actually remediation. Excuse me, we do have registrants on this item. We have three registrants all wishing to, let's see, let me jump to that. Is all three wishing to speak? It looks like in opposition. The first registrant on Zoom is Lance Jatin. Again, registering in opposition. So, I'm sorry, Lauren.
Lance is not on.
Not on. Okay. So we'll just take that as a registration not wishing to speak. All right. How about Michael Farron?
Michael is on, and I just promoted him.
All right. Welcome, Michael. You have up to 5 minutes to address the board. Need to unmute, Michael. Michael, you're still muted.
Sorry.
All right, welcome. You have up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Thank you. This year, the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine Transportation Research Board released a report titled PFAS Management at Airports, a Guide. I'd like to quote from a couple of paragraphs. A cost recovery or contribution claim under CERCLA may be a viable option once PFAS are listed as a CERCLA hazardous substance. Then airport operators may offensively bring cost recovery or contribution actions against other parties liable for releases at their sites. To successfully bring such a lawsuit, however, airport operators must verify that the response activities they are seeking reimbursement for were performed consistent with the National Contingency Plan. This means that a CERCLA quality cleanup took place with meaningful public participation and consideration of alternatives, and that no pre-selection of the remedy took place. Furthermore, finally, airport operators should act cooperatively with regulators and diligently prevent the spread of existing PFAS contamination, as well as future unnecessary releases of PFAS. Failure to do so may be viewed negatively by a court considering an airport operator's proper share of CERCLA costs and could yield a higher share of the financial burden for an airport operator. End of the quotes. Instead of following these recommendations, Dane County has a record of making sweetheart deals with a local contractor with no track record of successfully doing this work, or in the case of the storm sewer repairs, ignoring the advice of qualified engineering firm. The results speak for themselves. The other two responsible parties are taking a different tack. I am told that the National Guard Bureau will be forming a citizen advisory board to get public comment on their remediation plans. Madison Water Utility hired the top PFAS filter engineering design firm in the country and held three public meetings to elicit input on the design for the Well 15 treatment system. Meanwhile, the available data indicates that Starkweather Creek is 29 times the Wisconsin surface water standard for PFOS, and the situation continues to deteriorate. The leading technologies for PFAS destruction have one thing in common: high capital and energy cost. A treatment which eliminated these costs and which had any chance of working would be showered with federal research grants. Once proven to work, the inventor would receive millions in patent royalties given the hundreds of heavily contaminated sites. I would like to see Orrin's applications for a federal research grant and a patent and how they were evaluated. DNR required the pilot to establish the fate of the PFAS compounds in the soil. I saw no evidence that Orrin attempted at the end of their treatment to determine how much PFAS remained in the soil or adsorbed to the carbon they injected. They only report levels in the groundwater, where they knew the PFOA produced by the bacteria would be filtered out of the water by the injected carbon, just as the carbon will be removing PFAS from the water at well 15. This attempt at masking failed in one of the monitoring wells where a spike of PFOA was detected, giving us a peek behind the curtain at what the Wizard of Oz is really doing. The Madison Water Utility will be replacing its carbon periodically, sending the contaminated carbon to be processed at high temperature to destroy most of the PFAS. At Truax, the carbon would remain in the soil, slowly leaching PFOA back into the groundwater over many decades. 100% of the PFAS would eventually be flushed into the water table. There will be a flurry of press releases about the great cleanup work being done by Dane County. But after several more months of delay, DNR will reject the work plan because it failed their requirements. And the P will move on to the next shell in this game as Dane County works to maximize its legal liability.
Michael, you have a minute left? Oh, there you go. Sorry. Thank you. All right. Any questions for Michael? All right. Our next registrant is... Okay. Steve Books, here in person.
Hi, thank you, Chair. And I would also like to thank our new county executive, Sagard. Yes, I'm also in opposition to 2024 Res 205. I'm really not sure if this is science-based by Orin Technologies. And like Mr. Farron was saying, is it a proven track record that it'll work? And I would hope that Orin would work with processes that are being done at Well 15. And I noticed Orin didn't get the contract to replace Well 15 water with a filter. Now, the well, which is just north of, well, you could say Hy-Vee over by the corner of East Wash and Highway 51, if you ever wanted to visit that site, that well, where it exactly is, that all the groundwater that was poisoned from the airport with the PFAS from the firefighting foam, that's where it went. So the Darwin site was an old site with, it could have been a burn pit practicing with firefighting foam back further years when people didn't know any better to use the firefighting foam that had the PFAS in it. So I hope it gets cleaned up, and I would like to see something better done, that the soil gets removed and replaced. That would seem to make more sense. Than leaving something in. What Mr. Farron said, you leave something in the soil and it's still going to leach out. And so with my recommendation is that this gets DNR approval beforehand. Somehow work with the DNR, which they have abundant, very smart people who are hydrologists and such, and they know their stuff. And I would hope that would work. And as far as this vote tonight, I don't know if there's a recusal process with Dane County Board, if somebody has an interest. I hope nobody has an interest in Orin Technologies. And I would ask that if you do, that you would be recused from the vote. So thank you.
Any questions for Steve? Thank you. Okay, just one last check. No, the registrant did not return. Okay, I'll check him off. All right, there being no further registrants, back to what is before us is committee recommendation of approval as amended. Discussion. Supervisor Smith.
Thank you. I'd actually like to move to refer this to ENR for our consideration, and then I'll speak to the motion.
There's a motion to refer to the ENR committee, seconded by Wegleitner. Go ahead, Supervisor Smith.
Thank you. I think that it would be appropriate for our committee to discuss this issue as well. We have previously had joint meetings with the Airport Commission regarding specifically the Orin Technology research and efforts going on at the site. So it seems appropriate to me that since we've conducted these jointly in the past, that this is something that ENR would appropriately have oversight over again. And because we've seen the PFAS contamination primarily through the work of our committee in terms of the concerns with the lakes and the other environmental impacts that PFAS have had. So I think it's appropriate for our committee to consider this resolution as well.
All right, further discussion on referral, Supervisor Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just by way of clarification, I think you said re-refer.
Yeah, I know.
Has it ever been to
No, it was not. So I stand corrected. It would be refer to Ener, not re-refer.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Supervisor Engelberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, all I can say is I did check with the director and deputy director of Land and Water Resources, and they basically told me that unless they want to correct what I'm saying, it really didn't need to go back to Ener or to Ener because they really don't have the expertise with engineering with remediation of PFAS. So I guess I would ask a question of the chair also, why it was referred to where it was and not to Ener.
It was referred, I'm trying to remember. So it was referred because it is basically a public works project, and also it was referred to the airport commission because, of course, it impacts the airport property, and that's also where the existing contract and work was being done, was through efforts at the airport. And it sounded like did you have a question for Laura Hicklin then as well?
Well, I don't have a question unless she wants to, okay, you know, say that I misunderstood her or something. Okay.
All right. Thank you. And then I guess I would direct maybe a question, if you don't mind, Carrie, since you've just some of the why the work has been done through the airport, if you could maybe address that way, if you don't mind. Can you come up here? I don't have a microphone there, so. I'm sorry, I know I'm catching you off guard, but since Supervisor Engelberger raised the question, I just want to be real clear about why that's where the work has been focused.
The work goes through that committee because that is the one that controls those contracts. So Ener has had some joint hearings because there are a number of members who are interested in those issues. And so we definitely set up those meetings to answer questions, but the work goes through that committee, so we have to respect that's the process. I think that's being respected. The one thing I would note, though, is that if this is delayed, they're trying to get this work started this year. This will kick it past winter, and they won't be able to start it. So that will cause a delay in potentially getting this stuff addressed. So that's...
Okay. And there are partnerships in the PFAS effort, investigation and remediation effort, through the airport with the Air National Guard and so forth, is that correct?
Correct. I mean, that's been the relationship so far, and they've been working with this company for years. In fact, we are very lucky that Orin started with us because they are being asked to do work all over the country right now. The Department of Defense has had them out. Like, everyone wants to get a piece of Orin. So we're lucky that we are getting our airport to do this work first and potentially solving a problem that everybody wants to solve. So I think letting this keep going so we can see how much more this could do. It had very good test results in the beginning. This is a problem that nobody has the answer to yet, unfortunately. The technology and research is still trying to keep up and solve the problem. And this is probably our best path at this moment to try and get an answer as quickly as possible.
So thank you. Supervisor Engelberger, do you have some?
Mr. Chairman, I thought I heard testimony that work is being done without DNR approval. Are we actually doing work without DNR approval? I think I saw something different information that Carrie provided earlier.
Yeah, no, the DNR has been involved in this process the whole time. This is not being done without consultation with them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Wegleitner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's always unfortunate when we're placed in the position of, you know, you got to pass this tonight or else we can't do something until next year. And, you know, how does that impact what we're talking about? I'm not sure. I guess it concerns me that, and of course the Chair of Wiener is out of away, very far away right now. And I think it makes it a little difficult to get things on immediately or understand a little bit more why it wasn't there. We know it wasn't referred there, but I think there has been a lot of discussion and engagement in that committee on this PFAS issue. And while there have been joint meetings in the past, I don't think there's been one this term. And the scope of remediation, I think, is a really big deal. And this contract and who's doing it and how they're doing the remediation, you know, has huge environmental implications. And our Environment Committee seems to me is in a really, you know, one of the best places to evaluate if from an environmental standpoint, this is the appropriate direction for this work. Also, this was done. This contract wasn't even part of an RFP. It was a result of a bid waiver, which I think, you know, that's done at finance. That didn't come to the board. So I guess I just have concerns that this hasn't gone to Wiener and would feel better with additional layer of public engagement and the questions that committee, who has been really engaged on this issue, may have for the staff and the potential partner.
Supervisor McCarville.
Thank you, Chair Miles. This issue came before the Airport Commission and then again also to PWT. As been noted, so folks have had ample opportunity to weigh in. I would like to see if Director Jones is on and if she would like to maybe provide some further information for us so people can feel comfortable about which way they go with this tonight. I would encourage folks no on the re-referral at this point. So if Director Jones would like to make any comments.
Do you have a question for Ms. Jones?
Right, if she could provide any other information that may be of value to the supervisors in making their decision on this.
Go ahead, Director Jones.
Okay. In terms of additional information, as Carrie Springer noted, we are working with the DNR, we're working with the Guard, and this is a new technology still that we're very lucky. We're kind of leading the country on this issue in terms of how to address it in a more, in what we consider to be a better way. There are several other entities also, as Carrie mentioned, that are trying to get Orne on board with them. The DNR has been very supportive of this process. And it's an airport contract, which is why it typically goes to the Airport Commission and to Public Works. Public Works is our oversight committee for the airport. And it's important to note that we've talked to all of the involved parties and we believe that this is the best path forward. The reason we did the bid waiver versus an RFP, this technology is not available from other companies. So if we want to move forward with this type of technology, we need to continue the process through Orne and we need to have it through a bid waiver. So thank you.
Any other, Supervisor McCarville, did you have further comment?
No, that would be it. Just, I would encourage voting no on the re-referral. Okay.
Any further discussion? All right, on the motion to refer to Environment, Agriculture, and Natural Resources. Oh, Supervisor Wegmeyer, my apologies.
Sorry, Chair Miles. Just briefly, I just want to point out that this was just introduced less than 2 weeks ago. So that it really doesn't give a ton of time for board, public, committee to put this on their agenda and consider it. And I think that weighs in favor of re-referral.
All right, on re-referral, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say no.
Aye.
No.
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 All right, a motion to refer to Ener fails. So we're back to the question before us is the recommendation of adoption as amended by PWT. Any further discussion on resolution 205? Okay, all in favor of approval say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
With that, the motion carries. Resolution 205 is adopted. Okay, that takes us to appointments. We have one item before us here, 2024, Resolution 219, County Executive Appointments. The Executive Committee acted tonight with a recommendation of adoption. So discussion on Resolution 219. Hearing none, all in favor of approval say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That the motion carries. Resolution 219 is adopted. We're on to item M. We have nine items before us under M. Are there any requests for separation? Supervisor Wegmeyer.
Thank you, Chair Miles. I just want to be recorded as abstaining from M2.
Okay. And Supervisor Wagand.
I'd like to separate M4, and then I'd like to be recorded as voting no on 2, 3, 7, and 8.
So separate M4, you said? Okay.
2, 3, 7, 8.
Okay. All right. All right. So on the balance of items M1 through 3 and 5 through 9, I'd like to record them as having passed with the required votes more than a simple majority. There's no objection. All right, and hearing no objection will be so recorded, those items are adopted. So on to M4 is 2024 Resolution 199, authorizing the reclassification of an 1.0 FTE clerk, 1-2 to A 1.0 FTE, 1.0 FTE Clerk 3 for the Henry Vilas Zoo. Supervisor Wiegand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be voting no on this, and I wanted to explain why. In the last budget, I offered a budget amendment, to repurpose a couple of vacant positions within Dane County and dedicate those positions towards helping in the efforts to fight human trafficking. This was one of those positions. And I purposely selected this position for a couple of reasons. One, because it was vacant. I didn't want to see anyone lose their job. And two, because of the work that this position will do, in my opinion, pales in comparison to the work that someone that would be fighting human trafficking would do. And while this work is important, and I'm looking at the resolution, it says things like ordering supplies, greeting guests, receiving deliveries. Okay, that's fine, that's fair. That pales in comparison to the work of someone that would have been fighting human trafficking, people that are literally enslaved in human trafficking. So budgets are about priorities, positions are about priorities. This one, to me, is a no-brainer. Do we want someone that can fulfill office supply orders and greet guests, or do we want someone that can fight human trafficking? To me, that's a no-brainer. So I'll be voting no on this position. Thank you.
Any further discussion on Resolution 199? All right, hearing none, I'd like to record.
So should I record you by no?
Yeah. He started his comment saying that, yep. All right, so with that, I'd like to have this recorded as having passed with the sufficient votes required for beyond a simple majority. Is there any objection to that? Any hearing none, resolution passes and is adopted. So that takes care of items requiring more than a simple majority. So we're on to, is there any other business as allowed by law? Just a reminder, once we adjourn, we can head on over to the Argus. So with that, is there a motion to adjourn? Moved by Erickson, seconded by Doolin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you all.